One day, a six-year-old girl was sitting in a classroom. The teacher was going to explain evolution to the children. So the teacher asked the little boy in the class, she says, "Tommy, do you see the tree outside?" Tommy says, "Yes." Teacher says, "Tommy, do you see the grass outside?" Tommy says, "Yes." Teacher says, "Tommy, I want you to go outside and look up and see if you can see the sky." Well, Tommy got excited about this, getting out of class, being able to go outside. So he said, "Okay." He returned a few minutes later and he said, "Yes, I see the sky." Teacher says, "Did you see God?" Tommy's a little confused. He says, "No." Teacher says, "That's my point, Tommy. We can't see God because he isn't there. He doesn't exist." A little girl at that point spoke up and wanted to ask the boy some questions. The teacher agreed, and the little girl asked the boy, "Tommy, do you see the tree outside?" Tommy says, "Yes." "Tommy, do you see the grass outside?" Now, at this point, Tommy's getting tired of answering the same questions, so he says, "Yes." Little girl says, "Did you see the sky?" Tommy, now exasperated, says, "Yes." "Tommy, do you see the teacher?" Tommy's now a little confused. He says, "Yes." Little girl says, "Tommy, do you see her brain?" Tommy says, "No." Little girl says, "Well, then according to what we were taught today in school, she must not have one." It's not recommended. It's just referenced, all right? All right? Cornerstone kids, don't do that. Do not do that. Do not do that. All right, but here's what we know. This little anecdote might remind us that oftentimes what goes around comes around, especially in this case, and I'm assuming that teacher might have wished that it had not. The what goes around comes around principle is frequently affiliated with the concept of karma, a theological term that is found in the Buddhist and Hindu religions. That should scare us already. Karma is the Buddhist method of salvation, and it is rooted in the anti-biblical notion of reincarnation, all of which opposes the foundation and structure of the Christian religion. We don't want anything to do with karma. Dr. Irvine Robertson calls it the law of cause and effect, and subsequently claims that it, quote, rejects the Almighty God, his eternal Son, and the clear message of his holy and inspired word, the Bible, end quote. As Christians, we must reject the idea of karma and rather embrace and accept the concept of something called consequence. Now, that sounds easy enough, and many of you will say, "I deal with consequence each and every day, especially when I go to work or if I go to school." Consequence is essentially a product of a cause. We understand that. If we do something, we understand that an action has a reaction, that a cause will have an effect, and today we're going to learn that maybe, just maybe, what goes around comes around, not exactly the way we expect it. Here's an interesting example of that. The agent who led his company with persistency in life insurance sales made up his mind that he was going to marry the company vice president's daughter. Now, she didn't like the guy at all, but he knew how to be persistent. He began an extensive direct mail campaign, supplemented by several phone calls and face-to-face interviews. Soon, he stepped up his direct mail program, sending her a special handwritten delivery letter for 47 consecutive days. On the 48th day, his persistence finally produced results. She married the mailman. What goes around doesn't always come around the way we expect it to, but we can count on the consequence or the effect of a cause to come from or to be allowed by God. And if you're okay with that, you will say this: I trust in God to make whatever happen, happen. I lean on His will, I put Him in control, and I know that God has what's best for me. Now, I reflect on the term goes around, because in my life, goes around's always been connoted as something that's negative. You know, like for example, and many of you are dealing with this, you have kids that are in school, they come home and they're like, "My tummy hurts." And then you find out that the flu and the stomach virus is going around. See, I'm scared of that stuff. See, and whenever I think of that, I think about what's going around. When I was a kid in our playground in our little town where I grew up, they had a merry-go-round. There was nothing merry about it, because the thing literally, I mean, that thing, they had that grease like nobody's business. You get on there one spin, and I'm not kidding you, it was a vomit machine. So it was bad. Now, On the flip side, I like the word come around. I think it's good. I like come around. For example, you know, for me, where I grew up, like I said, we never had traffic where we were. We saw a truck, we thought it was great. But I loved growing up, and I'd be outside, and I would see this big cream-colored box truck coming down the road. And I remember that guy was the ice cream guy, and I thought he was the Swans man. I found out he was the Schwan's man. And I used to ask my mom, I would say, when is that Schwan's man coming around? My mom would say, oh, he comes around every Wednesday. And we used to get so excited when he would come around. You know, many of you might even say, you know, if you're trying to convince somebody of something, and you'll finally say, you know, I think he's coming around. There's a lot of positive and negative connotations with regards to those words, I think. Here's what's interesting. One of the consequences from our decisions or our actions is the realization that life isn't fair. And we have to be, and we don't have to be a love-struck life insurance salesman to learn this. In fact, Dr. Richard Carlson, a popular author, he once said this. He says that we should surrender to the fact that life isn't fair. Now, I don't think anybody would dispute that. In fact, I think everybody's pretty comfortable admitting that, as uncomfortable as we are about that. You see, in many ways, I think it kind of works like this. As believers on this earth, we must learn that we don't always get what we give. That our earthly rewards will not always equal our earthly works. That the consequences of sin by man against us doesn't always make sense. What goes around doesn't always come around the way we expect it to or want it to. And I am guessing that many of you are experiencing this today. Because in many cases, you have dealt with, or maybe you're dealing with, an untimely death. And I can tell you that it was timed by God. Or you may look at this, you may say, I'm tired of this sickness. And I can tell you that God's got this. Or you might say this, you might say, I'm done. I'm so tired of dealing with tragedy. And I can hear God telling us, just trust me. And I know that many of you are tired of being alone and facing rejection. And God says, don't worry. I've got this. You're not going to be alone. You're going to be with me. I'm going to show you my compassion. This is what God does. So let me ask you, are you comfortable loving and serving and working and giving and sharing and helping and then allowing God and waiting for God to reward you? You know, Jesus says in Matthew 6, 1 through 6, powerful words. He says, take care. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired, for then you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give a gift to a beggar, don't shout about it, as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you in all earnestness, they've received all the reward they will ever get. But when you do a kindness to someone, do it secretly. Don't tell your left hand what your right hand is doing, and your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. And now about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who pretend piety by praying publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. Truly, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, all alone. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father secretly. And your Father, who knows your secrets, will reward you. Are we okay with that? You okay with that? You okay trusting that God will reward you in His time, according to His will, by His way? See, a lot of times we try to expedite the process. In many cases, we step in and we say, God, I got this. I'll take care of the rewards. I expect to get something back, and if you won't give it, I'll get it, and I might even give it back. This is where many of us are at today. In many cases, I think we can look at this passage, and we start to step in front of God. Sadly, we oftentimes expect more, want more, and need more than God's rewards. According to Jesus, what goes around will come around. But according to God's providence, we know that God controls the consequence. Now, that's something that takes some work. Because in many cases, we want to control the consequence. In many cases, if we like control, we will control God and we'll say, God, you need to do this. I expect this consequence from that circumstance. God says, do you trust in my providence? You see, this word providence is an interesting word. It's defined as God's divine guidance or care. In essence, if we could stand back for just a moment and look forward and say, God, I trust your providence to deliver me from my circumstance, you will know you're growing. In fact, you will know you're moving from a place of anxiety to a place of trust and faith. Now, while we exactly don't want, we really, and I think this is the case, while we usually don't wait for God's rewards, I think when it comes to sins, and especially sins that are committed against us, I think in many cases we oftentimes beg for, I think we plead for, I think we look forward to God's revenge against others. Do we not? I think we say something like this, oh, he'll get his. Oh, she's going to get hers. Oh, karma's coming. We like to use that karma term with regards to that. We apply this to all aspects of our lives, whether it's rewards or whether it's revenge. I think in many cases, we just step in and we say, God, I got this. I'm going to give them what they have coming to them. Or better yet, God, you give me what I think I have coming to me. What we give, we expect to get. We think that our suffering should equal or even better those God-ordained blessings. Our enemies or opponents' sin should equal and or yield an equal dosage of God's revenge. We say, what goes around God had better come around God. I love the book of Job. I love the story of Job. We can all identify with Job. You may not have lost loved ones like Job did. You might not have lost your health and your wealth. You might have not lost your family members and coworkers, but I'm going to tell you, you've lost things. And you can understand Job. It's interesting because Job 42:10, if you don't know the story, Job was a man of God. And Job, in one fell swoop, based on what Satan did, Job lost essentially what we would call everything. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family members. He lost his coworkers. He lost his herds. He didn't have anything left except his wife. And sometimes we wonder if that was a good thing. I only say that because you got to read the story. Got to read the story. But here's what I can tell you. I can tell you that many of you, if you've read the book of Job, you say, well, how does it end? Because it sounds terrible how it begins. And how it ends is really kind of interesting. Because in Job 42:10, it says this. It says that the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Now, many of us would say, ooh, well, that's good. What goes around really might just come around and be a little better when it comes around. Except that Job still lost his health and his wealth and his original family members and his original co-workers and his original herds. And you say, that doesn't seem fair. And that's why Job said, God, this just doesn't feel fair. And then we read these words in Job 42:3. And here's what Job says. He says, in the midst of all this, once God has revealed himself and said, Job, what goes around will come around based on my will. You know what Job says? He says to God, he says, I denied your providence. I denied your providence. What Job is essentially saying is, God, I wanted to determine the consequence of my circumstance. I didn't trust you. I didn't believe in you. I didn't think you cared about me. I didn't think you were going to guide me. I felt like you left me. I denied your providence. Have we denied God's providence? Have we chosen to step in and say, God, I got this. I'll determine my consequence. Step away for a while. How much are we willing to endure or enact in the name of God as we wait upon God? Are we willing to accept that what goes around in our Christian lives might just keep going round and round and round? In essence, we feel like we'll never get our just reward, that our desired results will never come, that God will never dole out his just revenge. John Claypool tells a story of a boot camp experience of a young recruit from Georgia. Each evening, the recruit would pray by the side of his bed to the irritation and eventual furor of that drill sergeant. The sergeant lost no opportunity to mistreat, embarrass, even abuse that recruit. Always, however, the recruit returned good for evil. As the sergeant returned to the barracks in a drunken state from a rainy night on the town, he became infuriated by once again seeing the recruit kneeling in prayer. He threw both of his muddy boots at the recruit, striking him, and then he collapsed in his bunk in his drunken state. As the sergeant awoke the next morning, he saw hanging above him his boots, now cleaned and beautifully polished. He went to that young man. He says, "I tried everything to break you. I failed. You have something I don't have, and I want it. Goodness is greater than evil," says the offer. Let me ask you this. Are we wrong in wanting to know when the goodness we give out so graciously will get rewarded? That our suffering will eventually and hopefully be ended? That the wrongdoings of others will be avenged? Job asked for, he asked similar questions in Job 3, 11 through 19, and he seeks God in these matters in Job 16, 20 through 22. Job wanted to know when things would come around. So did the martyred tribulation saints that we read about in the great tribulation found in Revelation 6, 9 through 11. We are in the midst of a 7-year period of the tribulation. We read about these individuals who had given their lives for Christ, who had proclaimed their faith in Christ, and now were killed because of that act in the name of Christ. In Revelation 6, 9 through 11, we hear these martyred tribulation saints crying out, and here's what they say. Now listen to this, folks. They say, now this is John who's recording this in the book of Revelation, and he says, "And when he," being Jesus, "when Jesus broke the fifth seal, I saw an altar, and underneath it all the souls of those who had been martyred for preaching the word of God and for being faithful in their witnessing. They called loudly to the Lord, and they said, 'O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge the people of the earth for what they've done to us? When will you avenge our blood against those living on the earth?'" Listen to this response. "White robes were given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until their other brothers, fellow servants of Jesus, had been martyred on the earth and joined them." What? I mean, do you hear this? You see, we don't expect this. I mean, when we love Jesus, we don't expect this. I mean, what goes around should come around, right? They cry out for revenge, and God strikes them down and says, "It's time. I'm destroying them all, and I'll save the rest." And it didn't read that way. "White robes were given to each of them. They were told to rest a little longer until their other brothers, fellow servants of Jesus, had also been martyred." Had also been murdered? What? And we may question that. We may not understand that. But here's the thing. God ordained that. This is God's plan. It's God's will. And this is how it's going to go down. This is a real account of what will be happening in the 7 years of tribulation. Now, we look at this and we say, "I don't get this." And here's what we have to do. We take a step back and we say, "God, you got this. You see, God, I trust you to control this. I trust you to protect us and help us, even in the midst of pain and confusion. God's got this." See, it was as if those tribulation saints were saying, "God, when will all that we've endured eventually come around? What's taking you so long? When will I get what I feel like I deserve? Where is my reward? Where is your revenge? When is the healing? When will you stop my suffering?" Someone once said, with karma, you get what you deserve. In Christianity, Jesus got what you deserve. Now that doesn't seem fair. Is that fair? That an innocent man and the Son of God would have to be killed and murdered and hung on a cross? That doesn't seem fair. But for God, it was perfectly fair because he loved each and every one of us. And so that sacrifice for us to inherit eternal life had to be his Son Jesus. You see, we can step back and we can say, "God, I don't understand fairness." And God says, "Let me show you my Son Jesus." And then we can say, "You know what? God, you got this. I trust you. I understand you." You see, we don't believe in or we don't subscribe to karma. We believe in a much simpler term called consequence, which means that we must trust every day in God's providence, which doesn't always align with our current circumstance? Do we trust God? Are we willing to wait upon God? And will we allow God to let things just come around? Do we trust in his divine providence? To better understand this, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4, verses 5 and 6, he says, "For there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we all have the same God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through every part of us." This establishes his providence. He will reward us. He will avenge us. He will deliver us. He will help us. God and only God will determine what comes around. Now, we may say that's not fair, but here's what we know. When life isn't fair, God always is. Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unfair." Psalm 37:28, "For the Lord loves justice and fairness." God is fair even when he seemingly isn't. And I think we can live with that. Let me give you an example. Two competitive brothers who always, always, always went fishing together. That's all they ever wanted to do. Two competitive brothers, Steve and Kurt, once again went fishing. Every single time Steve threw his hook in, he caught a fish, but Kurt, as always, never had the same success. By the end of the day, on the day that they went fishing, Steve had caught 12 fish, but once again, Kurt had caught nothing. So the next day, Kurt woke up early in the morning, and in an attempt to finally best his family opponent, he dressed in Steve's clothes and carried Steve's rod and reel. He went to the river and sat down at the exact spot where Steve normally would sit. He threw his hook in, just like Steve would do it, and he waited just like Steve would wait. Darkness cleared and the sun rose. Finally, after about 2 hours of waiting, a fish popped out of the river and asked Kurt, "Where's Steve?" In God's providence, what goes around will come around according to his will. Here's what God's word says about this. We're going to read Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Great passage. Here's what it says. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Paul is talking to us when he says this. He says, "Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. If he sows to please his own wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. But if he plants the good things of the Spirit, he will reap the everlasting life which the Holy Spirit gives him. And let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up." And that's why whenever we can, we should always be kind to everyone, and especially to our Christian brothers. Now, I'm going to just focus on verse 8 here real quick. And I'm going to read this again. If he sows to please his own wrong desires, guys, the eyes are going. He will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. But if he plants the good things of the Spirit, he'll reap the everlasting life, which the Holy Spirit gives him. Now, here's the reason we bring this up. The good things of the Spirit, folks, the very things that we do every day and the things that you feel comfortable with every day, the things that you say are inspired by God every day, might not yield rewards in this life or even today. Is that okay? See, a lot of people say that's not okay. That's not okay. In fact, it tells us that we're not possibly going to get those rewards in this life, but we are guaranteed to get those rewards in eternal life. Now, what that means is, folks, that we are not going to live earthly lives. We're going to live eternal lives. Does that make sense? That means that your focus, your vision, will never be on what's before you, but what's waiting for you. In essence, you will say, someone says, "What are you living for?" You know what you'll say? You'll say, "I'm living for heaven. I'm living for heaven." And they'll say, "What about now?" "Well, I leave now to God. But I look forward to living with God, and that is my focus. That's what I'm living for." North American Baptist Seminary professor Hugh Litchfield once said this. He says, "All that we do for God matters, but sometimes it doesn't seem so. Why? Because we try to make things come around. In our misguided and undeserved providence, we determine the value of what we or others will sow, what we or others will reap, and we dictate the timing of our desired revenge or reward. In essence, we try to control the consequence by simply usurping God's providence. That's a problem. So here's what we do. We try to control them in three ways. And let's face it, we've all done it. It starts with God's timing. We try to control the timing, do we not? We say, God, I'm not willing to wait. God says right here, he says, don't get discouraged and give up. These are God's words from Paul. Don't get discouraged and give up. Oftentimes we get discouraged and we give up. Where's my reward, God? Where's your revenge, God? I don't think I can wait on you, God. You know, Romans 5:6 is interesting because Paul says, at one time I was utterly helpless. Christ came at just the right time. Now, for Paul, that was important because Paul dealt with a lot of stuff. In Paul's life, a lot was going around. You know what Paul wanted? He just wanted things to come around. But he also believed that it would be according to God's timing, not his. What about blessings? Don't we try to control the blessings? We try to control the rewards. You know, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:8, he says, God is able to bless you abundantly. Can we wait for it patiently? How about judging? Here's another one. We try to control judging. Not only timing and blessing, but judging. Matthew 16:27, Jesus said, he judges each person according to his deeds. You know what that means? That means you don't have to judge people according to their deeds. It means you can leave that up to God and give God the opportunity to judge. That should make us feel better. See, the Apostle Paul understood this. In 1 Corinthians 3:6-9, Paul tells his people, he says, that he plants a seed of salvation, but he never receives the reward of getting it to grow. That reward belongs to God. In essence, God's timing, God's blessing. Paul said in Romans 12:19, he says, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. God's judging. As our lives continue to go around, we must trust God to determine what comes around. We have faith in his providence to determine our consequence. His providence, his timing, should control everything. So what do we do in the interim? Because folks, I think I've taken a lot of burdens off your plate today. I mean, if you think about it, you don't have to worry about that stuff. You have to deal with that stuff. You don't have to live for that stuff. That should give you a lot of free time. So what do we do with that free time? If we're not concerned about that, if we're trusting in God to take care of that, what do we do with our free time? If we're going to allow God and his son to judge and avenge and heal and restore and reward, what do we do as our lives continue to go around? Well, look at verses 9 and 10. Paul says, let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. And that's why whenever we can, we should always be kind to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers. There are words in there that tell us what we are expected to do. We live based on that passage. We live in righteousness. We display kindness. And we are focused on being eternally, not earthly, but eternally blessed. We live with patience. These are the things we do. And we let God take care of the rest. Are we able to do that? Can we say, God, I trust you to do this? You see, in our lives, there are things that go around. Things are going to continue to go around. I wish I could tell you they won't stop going around, but they may just keep going around. And I can't tell you when it's going to come around, but I can tell you this, God knows. And I can tell you that God's got this. And I can tell you that your rewards, while they may not be earthly, I promise that you will experience them eternally. Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, he says, for if you give, you'll get. Your gift or reward will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and more running over. Many might say, I'm still waiting for this. You might have to know that you're going to have to keep waiting for this. Christians who are not dragged down by their circumstances, but rather they're trusting in and yielding to God's providence, they will eventually receive all of this. Perhaps not on earth, but definitely in eternity. There's an old poem that was written by an unknown writer, and he talks about these come-around rewards. Here's what he says. It goes like this. Who does God's work will get God's pay, however long may seem the day, however weary be the way. Though powers and princes thunder nay, who does God's work will get God's pay. He does not pay as others pay, in gold or land or raiment gay, in goods that vanish and decay, but God in wisdom knows a way. And that is sure, let come what may. Who does God's work will get God's pay. Are we willing to let come what may? Jesus says in Matthew 5, 10 through 12, these are difficult words, folks. Difficult words. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and here's what Jesus says. He says, get ready. Put a big smile on your face when you hear these words. Happy are those who are persecuted, because they are good, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Not the earthly reward, the heavenly reward. He goes on, he says, when you are reviled and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers, wonderful. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a tremendous reward awaits you up in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. You know what Jesus is saying? Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to keep going around. And here's what we have to do. We have to understand that Jesus will take care of what comes around. This is our faith exercise. Whatever goes around, whether it's good or bad, is going to come around. It's the consequence of God's providence, and it'll be fair. And it'll be timely. And it probably should comfort every single one of us today. Forget karma. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. Let's just trust God. Let's just lean on His care. Let's do what is right. Be more kind. Plant the things of the Spirit. Be more patient. Trust in God's providence to reap and reward what we sow and what we do. Charles Spurgeon once said this. He says, there are no crown wearers in heaven who are not cross bearers on earth. Cross bearers, Matthew 10, 38 and 39. Know that life isn't fair, but they know that the one who gives eternal life is. So all of us cross-bearers who daily deal with what goes around will trust in God's providence to reward us eternally and prepare us daily for what will eventually come around. Instead of asking, when will I get mine? And when will he get his? Let's instead strive to overcome our circumstances. Romans 5, 3 through 5. And never get tired of doing what is right, Galatians 6, 9, and trust in God's perfect providence. Psalm 31, 15, you alone are my God, my times are in your hands. And so we say this, God, I will trust in your providence to determine my consequence. I know you will come around to make sure your will comes around. Let's face it, folks, we have seen a lot of stuff. This 2017 has been a very, very strange year, to say the least. Many of you are going through things I can't even imagine with your family members and friends. Sickness abounds. Disease continues. And you look around and you say, I don't get this, God. When are you going to step in and stop this, God? When is he going to get his? And when am I going to get mine? And I can tell you this, it'll continue to go around. So we had better trust in the one who can deliver us and help us and continues to love us, the one who will make sure that his will and his way, according to his time, comes around. This is the hope that we have today. This is the only hope that we have today. Praise God that he allows things to come around, and it doesn't have to be earthly, but it's always, always eternally. Let's sing our final song today. It is called The Lord Our God. So I think back, I'm going to keep this brief. I think back to Rocky IV. You know, it's one of my favorite movies of the time. I don't remember what year it was. I mean, it was, you know, you had all the Russia-America stuff going on. And we were sitting in the theater with my friends. And, you know, and Again, we saw Creed get killed by this huge monster of a boxer, and so all of a sudden, you know, it's Hollywood, and so Rocky, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry, spoiler alert, but so Rocky destroys a Russian, and I remember standing in the theater, I was like one of the only people, I stood up and I started screaming, I was like, woo! And everybody's looking around, and then they all jumped up too, and then the theater, everybody starts clapping and jumping. I'll never forget that moment. I thought, gosh, I was the guy who stirred the emotion after Rocky IV. Here's the reason I bring it up. The good guy got his. The good guy got his. See, sometimes we wonder when the bad guy will get his and when the good guy will get his. And so often we just try to control the circumstances. And I think that it just tires us. In many ways, it destroys us. And if we could just step back and say, God, you got this. And I know that you do. I know that you reward those who need rewards. And I know that you'll avenge those who need punished. And I know that you have got this. And if we can leave with this today, I think it'll change our perspective. And for those of you who are waiting for healing and waiting for delivery, trust God. He's got this. It'll come around. It will come around according to his will. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you've opened our eyes to see there's so many things going around in this world today. And oftentimes we wonder, when will it come around? For us, for others, and for those who are suffering, and for those who are grieving, and those who are dealing with things that just seem so out of control. Today we're reminded you're in control. And as parents and grandparents and workers and students that gather here today, I pray that we'll just give you that control. I pray that we will step back and follow the words that you've told us to do and live by in your word. And I pray today that we will give you the ability and the time to just take care of the consequence. Help us today to trust in your providence. And I ask this according to your will. This will help us to grow as disciples. And I pray that you'll be with us today. Go with us and keep us safe. And all that we do, we pray it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.